Hey, this is Eddie Green. Welcome to Selling People, Not a Process. I'd like to thank you guys for coming out or sticking around, listening on iTunes and all of those kinds of things. It really means a lot to be able to pour into the things that I do on a sales process, and people take interest in what it is. And again, this is Selling People, Not a Process. So it's about the personability effect of selling and having your processes be seamless to the customer or to the potential client. So this is by no means the way I feel about me, but I get completely humbled and honored all the time. I get asked, you know, what do I need to do, or where can I find an Eddie Green for my sales organization? And that is incredibly humbling. And I would love to tell you that it's, you know, that the successes that I've had are because I'm some just an incredible sales guy, and that's really not what it is. It's all boils down to something that I am about more than anything in this entire world, and it's something you actually can't teach, and it's called passion. And I'm very passionate about taking care of people, meeting individual needs, creating individual needs, and exceeding expectations for the potential clients. But on the flip side of that, I also too am tenacious enough to realize that if I'm told no, 99% of the time it's really not a no. It's I didn't do a correct job in educating the customer or potential client on the services or products that I have to be able to instill that need, that it's something that they just cannot do without, either in their place of business or in their personal lives. So let's talk about passion. You know, passion is something that, you know, you have to go out and you have to go find those people that are incredibly passionate about doing things your way, that buy into your vision, that buy into your company's mission statement. But it's something that you can't teach. So how do you find these passionate people? I think it all starts in the interview process. I think whenever you go in and you're going to talk to somebody about a potential sales position, you should be listening for things like, how much can I make here? How can I be a student of the game? How can I ensure that I can learn as much as humanly possible about this company and the way you guys do things in order to make myself the best, the absolute most lethal salesperson out there? And then watch their countenance and their demeanor. Are they actively engaged, asking questions throughout the process of onboarding, just chomping at the bit, and you're having to hold the reins back to try to keep them from running out there and wanting to conquer and take over the world? So real quick story, you know, in disaster restoration, I came from, you know, very decorated sales background, but had never had any experience in disaster restoration. The more that I had talked to the gentleman that owned the franchise, the more excited I became and bought into his mission statement and his company vision and culture. And I immediately went home in hopes that I had won this job and started doing research on disaster restoration. How do you get water out of a building? How do you effectively dry a building? How do you do this? How do you do that? And then constantly wanted to be around the production team so that I could understand all the intricacies of what it was that they were doing so that I could be a better resource for the client. So that's something you don't teach. That's, you know, I've been that way with every organization that I've ever been in, from dental sales to home interior gifts, decor, and accessories. I wanted to know where the products were made, what type of warranties they had, what were the materials, what was the longevity of them, how they could provide the best value to the potential client that I was selling it to. You know, again, like I said, you can't teach it. You just can't teach it. So, but there are ways to look, you know, for those types of people. And I believe that just like in any relationship, you should never settle. And so many people will put a warm body in place and hoping that they found a diamond in the rough. And at that point, you realize that that salesperson has become a liability and that they're not an asset. They're draining your company finances. They're ruining morale. You know, these kinds of things, because they really don't have any buy-in to what you're doing. They're just taking up space and drawing a paycheck. Unfortunately, that seems to be more common than it should be. And in traveling all over the country, the one thing that I have come to realize is that I have found very few real rock stars and more warm bodies in place than anything. And I think that's sad. This is an investment that you're making for a return on investment, because again, a salesperson should always be an asset and not a liability. So if they should be actively driving revenue, you shouldn't have to micromanage them. You shouldn't have to force them to get out there and go do the job. You know, one of the things that I had noticed is from a passion standpoint is time management. Well, how can I be more effective in managing my time and creating the biggest potential client base that I possibly can? So I go out on a ride with in one of my consulting visits and see that they had six stops planned before lunch that we were going to, they weren't meetings. These were technically quote unquote cold calls. And we'll address that in episode 6 about pre-call planning, and there's no such thing as a cold call anymore. So stay tuned for episode 6 as well. But these weren't planned stops. They were just stops that they had wanted to go make and that they were going to pitch. So in essence, they were a quote-unquote cold call. So they go and they drive to one point. We go in there. We're in there 2 to 3 minutes. They don't get past the gatekeeper. And then they drive to point B, which is 20 minutes across town, but they left literally 50 opportunities in between point A and point B on the table. Well, a passionate salesperson is not going to do that. A passionate salesperson is going to walk out of point A and look across the street and see that they're, you know, and I'm talking about disaster restoration here and cultivating potential targets. They're going to see opportunity A, which was a bank, opportunity B, which was a strip center, opportunity C, which was a movie theater, opportunity D, which was a restaurant, opportunity E, which was a school system, you know, opportunity F, which was a clinic or a hospital. And they're leaving all of these things on the table to get from point A to point B and not thinking, how do I get all of these relationships out? I increase my opportunity, you know, for things to happen or for there to be a potential loss. I need to go out and saturate a certain area before I move to the next area. And that's just one example. Or they're afraid to go after the whales. They're afraid to go after the really big relationships. So again, it all boils down to passion. You know, they're not passionate about what they do. Well, how do you instill that passion? In some ways you can, but the way that I had seen people get passionate about things that didn't ever have it before is they would come down and mirror our franchise and take a look at our franchise and see our culture and the successes that we were having. We would always try to leave them better than we found them and celebrate in their victories and stay in constant communication with them. Well, the same thing can happen in leadership. You know, relish the small things, relish the victories to keep them motivated, you know, to be able to go out and to go after the things that you want them to go after. So, you know, the humbling and honoring thing is, how do I go find an Eddie Green? And you know, I am a unique individual, but there are several other unique individuals in this world that have accomplished far more than I ever will. And, you know, I think, but you have to understand there needs to be three principalities that your salespeople should adhere to. And the passion should bleed through in all three of these unique qualities. They should be smart, which means that they're going to work smart and not necessarily work hard. And it doesn't mean that they're not working hard, but they're working more smart than they are hard. Case in point, you leave point A, drive 20 minutes across town to get to point B, and you leave all these opportunities on the table. That's working hard. Working smart is you walk out of point A and realize there are 50 other opportunities right around point A that I need to go talk to. They're constantly learning, constantly thirsting for knowledge, constantly asking engaging questions, trying to better themselves and become a better, more educated salesperson. If you're not learning, you're not growing, so you need to be smart. Number two is you need to be hungry. So when you're doing your hiring, a tried and true sales professional, as I said, should be asking, what's my potential? What kind of money can I expect to make here? Not what's my base salary. Base salary should be just enough for them to be able to make ends meet, especially in the disaster restoration industry. It's a longer tail process. It takes a little while for relationships to come to fruition and things to happen and your revenue channel to open up. So it should be something that allows them to be able to pay their bills, but they really don't have anything left over after that, because now they're going to be focused on commission. Now they're going to be focused on getting out there and driving revenue to ensure that they're getting commission each and every single month, because they're just not happy, content, or comfortable with the base salary that they're making. They should never be comfortable. So if they get landed a $1 million job, they should be looking for a $2 million job tomorrow. If they landed a relationship, they want to land 3 more relationships tomorrow. You know, so that you want to keep them constantly hungry. And number 3 is they should be humble. Every salesperson is going to be, you're either going to call it cocky, you're going to call it confident. But they're going to have a certain level of confidence that most people in the regular world don't play with. And that's okay. It keeps them sharp. It keeps them confidence, because they're using things like positive assumptive closing and leading questions and things. They're not taking no for an answer. They're a little thicker skinned. But they need to be humble enough to do the right thing by the customer, to under-promise and over-perform. And they need to be humble enough to admit that if they make a mistake, yes, I did make this mistake, but this is what I'm going to do to fix it. You've never arrived as a salesperson. If you have, go do something else, because now you're no good to anybody. So the situation is that you need to be humble enough that you're approachable, that you're operating with a servant's heart, and that you're not afraid to admit fault. So smart, hungry, humble, and passion will be somewhere in all of those if they possess those 3 characteristics. So if you want to go find an Eddie Green, the cool thing about the company that I work with Tier Level, is we also have a different facet that's under digital recruiting called Restoration Hire. And we would be happy to help pre-screen some of your candidates for you and help you get the right people in place for your culture. So if you have any questions, please email me at eddie@tierlevel.com. I would love to hear your success stories, things that you feel like that maybe I might be leaving out on this podcast, things that you feel like could contribute to the passion side of things. And, you know, I appreciate it, and I appreciate everybody who comes and takes the time out to listen to this. And I hope you find some value in this and you can go find success in your own way, in your own right. So again, it's Eddie Green. This is Selling People, Not a Process. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.